Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
Getting in a relationship with a malignant narcissist was the biggest amount of head trash I've ever had to wind my way out of. And I say that with, you know, childhood sexual abuse at the hands of my father. So while that was horrible and awful and, you know, obviously horrifying, this relationship that I got into in my early 40s was by far more traumatizing.
So the big questions are these: how can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung, and this is Negotiate Your Best Life. And today, what a special treat. We have Kristen Walker, who is the founder and CEO of the Mental Health News Radio Network, which reaches something like 12 million people. And it was created after several regular guests asked her if she would create podcasts for them. And, you know, and then the rest is history. And she has such a really interesting backstory. And I really want her to share much more of that. But basically, she has over 90 shows on this particular network now. And she created it from nothing. So welcome, 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 Kristen. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rebecca. Another powerful, strong female. I love it.
Yeah. Well, and none of us get through this life unscathed, right? We all have a story, and we all have had to deal with our share of debris being flung at us. Right. And so, tell me about your backstory. What inspired you to even help people at all in this way?
Well, I mean, I've always been a volunteer. That was a big thing in my family, was to be of service in that way. So I grew up, you know, just knowing that I would volunteer places. So I have been volunteer speaking since I was in my early teens about childhood sexual abuse and early childhood trauma. And believe me, and I'm 50. So in the early 80s, when I was talking about this, that was taboo with a capital T. You did not, you know, talk about those things out loud. So I got really used to the debris that you mentioned and did it anyway, because it helped me and it helped a lot of other people. But in terms of mental health, obviously, and thankfully, I had a lot of counseling at a young age. And I just, you know, mental health counselors were my healthy parents. So I wanted to do something that would showcase them and what they do in the world. And so I started my own show, Mental Health News Radio, and just did that also volunteer activity for 6 or 7 years before I started this network.
Interesting. I love the way you say that your counselors were your healthy parents. I've never heard it put quite that way before, but that's a nice way of saying not saying some things, I guess.
Right.
I mean, you mentioned about, you know, years ago when you started this, that in the 80s that there had been a stigma. And that was one of the questions I actually have here to ask you, which is there has been traditionally been a stigma around mental health and people getting the help they need. Do you think that's getting better or worse or staying the same?
It's absolutely getting better. It's not where it needs to be, but I can tell you it's definitely, definitely getting better. Back when I started my podcast, you know, you would go get your hair cut. And I always have been someone that talks about uncomfortable things. So I would say something like, well, you know, my therapist, or there's a lot of anxiety or ADHD, whatever topic I'd be discussing. And people would be like, and then silence. And over the last, I'd say, 2 years, I mean, it's slowly changed, and hopefully our network had, you know, was a part of helping with that change. But now, you know, I can be at a hair salon, well, not with COVID, but, you know, when we could go to hair salons, I would say, you know, hey, yeah, ADHD or anxiety or trauma, and everybody there from the stylist to the other people. And that's what I mean by, you know, just general public conversation, not in the mental health bubble, but everybody there will go, oh yeah, I had trauma, or I have ADHD, or I have anxiety. And there's not stigma around talking about these things that are really under that mental illness umbrella that's under the mental health umbrella.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, the access to information has helped a lot. You know, podcasts, you know, talk shows. I mean, back in the day when I was a kid, you know, it was Phil Donahue, and then, and then Oprah came along after that. But, you know, that's the only place you really had access to even hear people talking about this kind of thing. And, you know, and certainly stiff upper lip and all that kind of thing was sort of the feel of the day, you know? So I like to talk about people's head trash, and especially, you know, on a show like this, where, you know, I talk about negotiating with narcissists and navigating narcissists, and you have devoted an entire network of people devoted, you know, to mental health. And you can't really talk about mental health without head trash, we all have. And some of us are able to, you know, clean out the trash better than others, but it's always still sort of a part of being human. So what has been your biggest mental health obstacle? What's been your biggest head trash that you've had to navigate, and how have you figured it out how to navigate it?
Well, I mean, hands down, and this is the first thing that came to me, getting in a relationship with a malignant narcissist was the biggest amount of head trash I've ever had to wind my way out of. And I say that with, you know, childhood sexual abuse at the hands of my father. So while that was horrible and awful and, you know, obviously horrifying, this relationship that I got into in my early 40s was by far more traumatizing, maybe because I was an adult, I don't know, but the dynamics of it were so horrifying. And I'm so grateful that I found a website with one of the podcasters actually on the network where she writes prolifically about narcissists, and went, that it was like, oh, someone turned a light on. That's it. That's what I'm dealing with. And then I could unwind myself from the cuckoo cachoo, is what I call it, with dealing with narcissists.
Wow, that's so powerful. And how awesome is it that you're so willing to share that? Because by you being so willing to be open and raw and authentic about that, it really helps to normalize it for other people who go, oh my God, that's me. And I know for myself, you know, I dealt with a couple of narcissists in my life. I've been dealing with them for more than 20 years as an attorney in my practice, but it wasn't until I had to deal with them in my personal life, not even as a romantic partner, but one as a business, in a business setting, and one in my extended family. And it was only then that I started to go, oh my God. And it was reading a book called The Covert Passive Aggressive Narcissist that I was like, oh my God, this is what's going on. And so I so have compassion for anybody who's dealt with it, and why I've made this my personal crusade and developed a whole program around creating strategy and leverage to help people actually negotiate. Because I've been talking about negotiation for years. I've written books on negotiation, but I, it wasn't until I had to deal with them in my personal life. And so I totally get what you're saying about the narcissist and toxic individual. And so how were you able to cope and start taking those baby steps to get mentally healthy or back to being somewhat yourself?
Well, you know, there's so much that I did that was profoundly good. That was such an awesome instinct of self-care that I didn't know were good things to do until after I went through them and started reading what other people had written about the things that you should do when you're dealing with toxic people. I wish I would have, well, what we do things as we can, but had I had a book or a podcast or whatever that I knew about before or at the beginning of this relationship with this person, I wouldn't have given myself so much shame and grief about the things that I did that were so protective, like go no contact, like, you know, give them a gray rock, you know, all those things.
You don't even know that language until you're like in it.
And make up a few of your own. I've got one that I call fleas and ticks. And that's the debris that sticks to you, that it shows up in your own bad behavior until you get away from them long enough that you stop, you know, having, you know, toxic behavior yourself. But yeah, you don't even know the language. And so I think,
I love that fleas and ticks. That's so funny. You lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas, yes, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Nothing stick against wonderful dogs. They don't deserve to be in the same.
No. Sense, and that is so exactly true.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I think a lot of therapy, but the right kind of therapist. You have to go to a therapist that understands what this kind of abuse is, because if you don't, you're not going to get what you need out of it. You need specific skills, as you know, to get yourself and navigate through all the stages that you go through when you are coming out of a relationship like this. So a lot of therapists, to the right people. And I'll tell you what, I'm doing podcasts about this topic and interviewing every expert that would come on my show about that particular topic. And then now we have like 8 shows on the network that are just dedicated to this. And I created a whole page just for all the shows that are dedicated to it. And it's still the number one downloaded topic.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, my YouTube channel, I just started doing videos on this at the beginning, in, you know, quarter one of this year. And I went from 100 subscribers, you know, because it was like at the beginning of the year, I was like begging my family to subscribe to my YouTube channel just so I could get a branded YouTube thing. And now I have almost 80,000 subscribers and I have almost 4 million views. That's so amazing. I know that it's, you know, it's affecting so many people. I mean, it's basically almost 1 in 10 people. And I always say that if each one of those people just narcissistically abuses just 5 people in their lifetimes, that's 3.4 billion people.
Yep.
That's like all of us. There's not one of us who hasn't been a victim of some sort of narcissistic or toxic individual.
Absolutely.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
But for people that struggle with mental illness, people that have had early childhood trauma, it is the same, if not worse, than the stuff that you had as a kid. Even if you've been in a lot of therapy like I have, and the healing from it, you know, in a good way, it helps you heal a lot of those early issues that maybe you didn't quite get to in therapy because you weren't at the right age to understand them. But you could do that without being completely re-traumatized by having someone like this in your life.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp can assist you today with your own licensed professional therapist. Private, online, super convenient. You're communicating in less than 24 hours, no waiting room, no leaving your house even. And they are committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy to change therapists if you need to change therapists. They can help you if you're wherever you are in the world, worldwide, with anything such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts. Anything you share is confidential, super convenient, affordable. I want you to start living a happier life today. And so as a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/breakingfree. Join over 800,000 people by taking charge of your mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/breakingfree.
Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high-conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
One of the hallmarks of narcissists is that they're extremely likable to the outside world. They're like the greatest salesman on earth, in a lot of ways, very intelligent, masters at reading people. So love bombing is the first of the manipulation tactics. And right from the beginning, they're reading you to see how they can best kind of worm their way into your lives and put themselves in a position to be able to do things, to you, and have control.
And now we return to today's show.
So, what would you tell people who are in these relationships now, other than, what were the first little baby steps that you took, or what would you tell a young Kristen Walker?
Oh man, I just was asked this. I was a guest on one of our podcasters' new podcast, and they asked me, what would you tell a young Kristen Walker? But the part about narcissism wasn't surrounding it. And so I'd say the same answer to you that I did to him. I would say read books about toxic people and narcissistic personality disorder younger.
Like before you get into these relationships,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. I mean, so that you can spot them.
Yeah.
I mean, because otherwise you just have no idea what the hell's going on.
Exactly. And think you're insane.
Yeah.
But
the one thing I can say is, I've been interviewed and have interviewed Dr. Romney a lot of times, and she pointed out, she's a psychologist who does a lot with narcissism, and she pointed out that yes, people who have had narcissistic abuse or trauma have a form of PTSD, but it actually is much easier for narcissist victims to heal, because as soon as they spot it, as soon as they realize what's going on and that these are broken people and it doesn't have anything to do with them, the healing actually comes, it's not easy, but it comes quicker than you might think.
That's true with people that have not had their own trauma and, childhood issues. That's true of someone like, I just met a narcissist in my 30s. It was horrible. I've never met anyone. I haven't fallen in love or been my boss or whatever. When you get into it with one of them, that's true in those scenarios. But for people that struggle with mental illness, people that have had early childhood trauma, it is the same, if not worse, than the stuff that you had as a kid. Even if you've been in a lot of therapy like I have, and the healing from it, in a good way, it helps you heal a lot of those early issues that maybe you didn't quite get to in therapy because you weren't at the right age to understand them. But you could do that without being completely re-traumatized by having someone like this in your life.
And they really do traumatize people. So the word narcissist is really used a lot nowadays. I mean, would you say that the word narcissist is overused now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I saw this coming, I've been doing shows about this topic for 8 years. Now I'm certainly not, an early, there are people that have been in it way, way, way longer than me. Some of them are my best friends in the world. However, it's become a cottage industry. The whole narcissistic abuse support industry is a cottage industry. And so the minute that started happening and people start making money off of supporting the victims, then we started getting into, okay, everybody's got to get their latest book out. And some of these people that are doing this work are also narcissists themselves, and they're out there traumatizing people. Boy, have I landed in hot water with a few of them. So, you know, it's anytime you start attaching monetary gain to something, you're going to start getting some sharks in the water. And unfortunately, that means that the term narcissist is just thrown around. That's not the only reason, but that is one of the reasons. It's in their best interest to keep people trauma bonded and so on, because that's how they get their money.
Well, I definitely think that's true. I mean, I think in my world, you know, as a divorce attorney, I had seen many, many people for years. I used to joke, because I've, you know, written a couple of books, and I used to joke that my next book was going to be called My Husband Is Controlling, My Wife Is Crazy, because that's what they all used to say. Right. And so it's like, you know, first meeting, my husband is so controlling, or my wife is crazy, you know, but now they're just all narcissists, since that's the term of the day.
Right.
And so what do you think the dangers of that is, that the fact that the word is just thrown around?
I think it just completely takes away from the trauma of what this actually is, because, you know, it's on a spectrum. And yes, people can behave narcissistically when they're in a situation like a divorce, but that doesn't mean that they are a diagnosable personality disordered, character disordered person. So it waters down how damaging people are that are this way. They're not going to change. There's no healing for that. It's just behavior modification for the rest of their life, for the ones that will actually do it, from just somebody that's really going through a horrible time in their life, and they're not behaving their best, because you don't when you're in pain, a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, my husband used to be a prosecutor, and we used to joke that criminal attorneys see bad people at their best, and family law attorneys see good people at their worst.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I agree with you with that. But the problem is, and you know, even within the judicial system, you know, the judges are just seeing, everybody says they're a narcissist, so they kind of roll their eyes with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I teach people in my SLAY program and on my YouTube channel, in my resources, is you have to prove the other person's bad qualities without using the word narcissist.
Right.
Because otherwise you're just not going to have any credibility. So let's talk about the Mental Health News Radio Network. I'm so thrilled to be helping you share this, because what an incredible resource for the world.
Oh,
what an amazing thing you have created and birthed and raised your baby. So tell us about this.
Well, I still have a technology consulting firm that works with mental health software, and I was doing my show. I mean, I'd be out in the middle of Iowa cornfields driving from one mental health center to another, helping them with their tech, doing shows on my phone, in my car, looking at cornfields or at a hotel or whatever. It was just, like I said in the beginning, it was a labor of love and volunteer. But some guests that were regulars were like, look, you should really turn this into a network. And this is when, you know, there weren't other networks. There's one network that still exists. The others are defunct. So there was nobody for me to call and go, how do I do this? What's the blueprint? So I just had to make it up and finally say yes to them hammering me for start a network. And I'm so glad I did, because there is nothing that gives me more pleasure in life than helping someone use their voice and to use it in service of helping others, especially.
Well, and what's more important than mental health in a lot of ways? I mean, you know, without, I wrote a book called Negotiate Like You Matter, and Matter is the methodology I teach, and M stands for, you know, your mindset, and
right,
and proving that you matter to the world is really, really starts within your own brain. You and you alone define your value. you know, my value is defined by me is what I actually say M stands for. So, you know, I just think mental health is so, so, so important. So other than the Mental Health News Radio Network, what would be your favorite go-to resource to pivot when you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious?
I have a shaman that I work with, that I've worked with for years. And, you know, I've been diagnosed by every brilliant psychiatrist on the planet because they've been on my show. But,
tell me about that. Diagnosed with what? Are you willing to share?
Yeah. Just listening to shows, them going, Kristen's got some attachment issues or, you know, that kind of thing.
And got it.
I'm like, okay, thank you very much. I know I'm full of issues.
So codependent or.
Oh yeah. every possible, you know, thing. I mean, the only clinical diagnosis I've ever had was depression and then just low grade depression. So those are the only clinical things I've had. But I started working with a shaman who would never call herself that, because if you really are a shaman, you tend to not say that's what you are.
What is this? Is a woman or a man?
She's a woman.
A woman. And so tell me what she does. I'm very curious.
Well, she was a registered nurse, and I don't even know what to give her. I used to call her a healer, but that wasn't enough because she doesn't heal you. She helps you heal yourself. You just go, and for everybody it's different, but you sit and have a chat, and then you she kind of takes a sense of what's going on with you and helps you see yourself from a different higher perspective so that you can start healing whatever's ailing you. And then you lay on her table and she does all kinds of exercises with you. And then when you're done, you sit down and have another chat. And it's fantastic. I have taken these incredible journeys, and I'm a very, okay, if I can't see it, it's not real kind of a person. So being around her and going through this process, and being so tied to psychology, psychiatry, it's fact, it's science. So this has blown my mind and just helped me in unbelievable ways, especially healing from the, you know, the narcissistic abuse.
Yeah. And so how long has it been since you've been out of that relationship?
It's been about 8 years.
All right. 8 years. And you still probably have these flashbacks every once in a while, I'm sure, because I know I do. It's like, oh my God.
I don't with him, but I have. I mean, you know, I've met others for sure. Being a media company, you look like a shiny toy, and narcissists love shiny things. So I've certainly had others come my way that sometimes I'm like, oof, that one, yeah, that hurt. I don't think about him anymore, the original one. I forgot his name the other day, and I was like,
oh, good. Good for you. I love that. Okay. So now we come to the most important question in this interview today. What is your spirit animal?
My spirit animal is a blue heron.
Okay. Okay. Now you have to say why.
Well, I don't know why. I just, I did the animal cards, you know, those animal cards that you can get. And I went to a retreat. And that was the card that I picked, that came, you know, through the session, that was my spirit animal. So,
okay.
I don't know any of the behind. I wish I could give you some.
Interesting. Some backstory. All right. Okay. So where can people find out more about the Mental Health News Radio Network and the other interviews that, you know, you have there on narcissism? And I know you're getting ready to interview me next, yes, too. So my interview will be up there at some point as well.
Absolutely. We're all over the internet because we've been on forever and just are stuffed with content. So anyone can Google Mental Health News Radio or Mental Health News Network. But if they want to type a lot, they can go to mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com or mhnrnetwork.com. And if you click on shows, you'll see the long list of incredible shows that we have.
an awesome, awesome research. Please go and check out Kristen's Mental Health News Radio Network. Really, really amazing resource for any of you who are out there that are dealing with any kind of high conflict, toxic, or narcissistic personality, or just anyone who's driving you insane, or you're dealing with head trash, just go and check it out. Thank you so much, Kristen.
Absolutely. Thank you. This is fun. I love being a guest. I'm used to the other side, which I know you are too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.